My name is Bree. This happened in 2016. I was 19 years old at the time. I was up late the night before into the early morning studying, and I hadn't had much sleep, so I had just woken up from a nap. I decided to hop in the shower to wake myself. That's when I heard this weird scraping sound coming from somewhere outside. I stopped the shower and peered out from behind the curtain, and then made my way over to the window. I saw nothing, but I could still hear the noise. I thought it may have been my neighbor working in a shed, so I ignored the disturbance and finished up in the shower. Before I continue, I should inform you that I have severe anxiety problems, and I often get a little paranoid sometimes. It also doesn't help that I have PTSD as well. Anyways, I was now back in my room, and I took a seat on my bed. I texted my then-boyfriend and asked him what he wanted for dinner. While I was waiting for him to respond, I just relaxed and scrolled through my Facebook. I was reading an article about the recent clown sightings that were happening at the time, when I was interrupted by the sound of footsteps coming from outside. I stopped and listened carefully. I heard a few more steps, followed by a tapping noise. I was a bit confused by this. It hadn't yet occurred to me that I had an unwelcome guest outside. I was thinking why my boyfriend hadn't knocked on the door or called before he showed up. We usually had a routine with things like this, especially if I was home alone. He would either text, call, or FaceTime me to let me know when he was on his way home, or if he was at the door, because there had been a lot of shady activity around our neighborhood at the time. I then called out to him, and suddenly, all fell silent. I texted him and asked if he was at the door. There was no reply, so I decided to peek through the bedroom window. While I was making my way to the other side of the room, my phone started ringing. It was my boyfriend wanting to FaceTime. When I answered, he said he was about 15 minutes away. As I was talking to him, I pulled back the curtains of my bedroom window, and that's when all the blood in my veins turned to ice as I came face to face with a fucking clown. I know I wasn't hallucinating. An actual clown was looking at me through the window, smiling. After my initial shock, I actually started to laugh, thinking that this had to be some kind of prank my boyfriend was pulling on me. So I played along, pretending to be terrified, and whispered into the phone. "Very funny, asshole. Love the whole scary clown thing." I chuckled and rolled my eyes. My boyfriend was confused, and I explained to him about the clown at the window, and said that he and his friend did a good job scaring the piss out of me. He seemed confused, saying that all of his friends were hanging out at the pub, and that he was not a part of any plan to prank me. Upon hearing this, I felt my stomach in my throat as I looked back at the clown, who was still just outside my window. He reached into his costume and pulled out a very real-looking butcher's knife. By this point, I wasn't sure what was going on, so I grabbed my baseball bat. My boyfriend told me that he was now only a few minutes away. He shouted at me to stay inside and to lock all the doors and windows. I quickly closed the curtains and went into the lounge. It wasn't long before I heard a loud pounding on the front door. Suddenly, I heard a creepy voice coming from the other side.
"Let me in, child."
I didn't respond to the voice. I just stood perfectly still, waiting for the next move. Loud pounding rang out again, causing the door to rattle on its hinges, but I kept quiet, even when I heard the doorknob rattling. Although I was pretty scared at this point, I was also getting a tad irritated and yelled out to the clown,
"Fuck off! Go annoy someone else!"
I then heard muffled laughter, followed by the creepy voice.
"Please let me in, doll. I just want to play. I want to play with your insides."
I had enough of this. I was about to go out and confront this creepy asshole myself when I heard my boyfriend's voice, who was still on the phone, say,
Hang up and call the cops.
After some consideration, I thought that maybe confronting the creepy clown outside with a butcher's knife was not the correct course of action. So I did as my boyfriend said. I left the lounge and was soon explaining to the police dispatcher the situation. I was on my way back to my room when I heard the sound of glass breaking. I stopped in my tracks and told them that I think the clown just broke into the house. They immediately told me to get somewhere safe, and that's when I heard my ex yelling out,
"Hey, what the fuck are you doing? Get the hell out of here! The police are on the way!"
The clown just bellowed out a psychotic laugh and took off. As I made my way back into the bedroom, something caught my eye. I peered out the window. Through a gap in the curtains, I saw another clown. He appeared to be holding some kind of saw blade in his hand. I went to move, but I was like a deer caught in the headlights. I couldn't move or scream. Fear then overcame me, as I realized my boyfriend was now out there with two creepy clowns. I screamed into the phone,
"There's another clown outside my bedroom. Please hurry."
After a few moments, I was relieved when I heard my boyfriend at the back door. I quickly let him inside. We then held each other tightly until the police arrived. After taking our statements, the police discovered a rusted hacksaw and an axe lying on the ground outside of my bedroom window. There were red marks all over them. Of course, the creepy clowns that had turned my night into a freak show were nowhere to be found. After that night, I struggled to fall asleep. I often think to myself, what would have happened to me if I had been stupid enough to open that door? Were they just a couple of thrill seekers looking to frighten a girl who was all alone? Or were they, in fact, out for blood? I was born, raised, and still live in Texas. I come from a family of hunters. It's pretty much a family tradition. I'm going to tell you about something that I experienced when I was 20 years old, back in 2005. My father had just been diagnosed with lung cancer, and everyone in my family was naturally devastated by this, especially me, since my dad and I were very close. I had a lot of other personal stuff going on in my life at the time, and I felt that I needed to go out for a few days just to clear my head. I decided to make it a solo hunting trip and packed up some camping gear, along with my Marlin 336 that my dad gifted to me when I was 18. If I could get sentimental for a moment, my father ended up passing away 3 years after his diagnosis, and to this day, I still use that rifle for hunting. Anyways, I'd say this happened around late October, early November. I don't want to be too specific with a location, because technically, I wasn't supposed to be hunting in this specific area. However, I will disclose that it was near the Mexican border. This will be important later. I decided to set up camp for 3 days before heading back. I had been hunting on this land before with some friends of mine, and I knew the precautions to take not to be spotted by the game warden. I'm sure if there's any other hunters listening to this broadcast, they'll be more than happy to tell you that we often wipe our asses with the rule book. Before anyone judges me too harshly, or the practice of hunting in general, I will say that I'm a very spiritual person, and I have a profound respect for Mother Nature. I don't leave trash everywhere, and every animal that I put down, I never let go to waste. I'll be the first to admit, there are hunters that give us a bad name. And me not following the rules is more of a middle finger to the government than it is to the sport of hunting. I once straight up beat the shit out of someone who was a friend of a friend for shooting a stray dog for absolutely no reason. If it's consolation to anyone, I handed him a horrible ass-whooping for that. But I digress. The first day went off without a hitch. No problems whatsoever, aside from the fact that there was no game to be found anywhere. So I figured that I would head further south the next day to see if my luck would improve. Other hunters knew about this restricted location and may have already cleaned out this area. As night fell, I found myself sprawled out next to my truck, just staring up at the night sky, wondering if me and my dad would ever take another hunting trip together. That's when I heard the sound of footsteps slowly making their way through a nearby brush. This was alarming for obvious reasons. Whoever they were, they had the drop on me. I knew better than to light up a campfire under these circumstances. But if this person was roaming around in the dark without a flashlight, they may have had some kind of night vision apparatus, giving them the advantage. I was concerned, because if you were looking at me through the trees at that particular moment, it would have appeared that I was sleeping. I was in this odd position where I was resting on top of my sleeping bag with a blanket, because I felt claustrophobic being fully immersed in a sleeping bag. It was a good thing too, because this meant I was able to mobilize quickly, and something told me that I only had seconds to make a decision. I rolled sideways, and as soon as I did, I caught a quick glimpse of a muzzle flash coming from the tree line directly in front of me. I felt dirt fly up and hit my back from the bullet striking the ground next to me. I scrambled to my feet as more shots rang out from the trees, one of them shattering the passenger side window of my truck. I took cover behind the bed of my pickup and quickly drew the .38 snubnose that I had strapped to my ankle. After the gunfire died down, I laid flat on the ground and returned fire in the direction of the trees from under the truck. I heard several sets of footsteps fleeing from the area, but I held my position in case my theory about the night vision was correct. With only two rounds left in my .38, I pretty much spent the rest of that night underneath my truck with my pistol aimed at the darkness until the sun came out and illuminated my surroundings. I very cautiously got out from beneath my vehicle and packed up my gear as quickly as I could and hightailed it out of there. Later on, when I told a friend of mine about the incident, he said he wished I would have told him that I was heading that way. He would have warned me that the Mexican cartel started using that area to smuggle contraband and people across the nearby border. This friend of mine was a Mexican immigrant himself, and had several family members mixed up in the cartel and coyote groups, so needless to say, I trusted his word. All things considered, I think I got off pretty easy. Had I been in my sleeping bag that night, I have no doubt that bullet would have nailed me. These days, I stick to the designated hunting grounds. Some things are just not worth the risk. I'm from Afghanistan. My family relocated to France in 2003, shortly after the American invasion. I was only 12 years old when it all started. Between 2001 and 2003, armed terrorists would intrude into our home and use it as a headquarters to plot attacks against the invading army. My father suffered from a genetic disease that would eventually take the use of his arms and legs. This is why I think the Taliban chose to hold up in our home. There would be no resistance. The first time they burst through our doors, it was horrifying for me and my two younger sisters. But eventually we got used to waking up and seeing armed men in our living room. About a year after the war broke out, following the attacks on the World Trade Center in New York, the Taliban would begin to raid small villages like mine, looking for recruits to replace the fighters that were killed in combat. Of course, since they knew where I lived, and that my father was in no position to do anything about it, I was one of the first to be taken from my village. Myself and several other boys were blindfolded and loaded onto a truck, then driven to a remote location outside of town. My village was located west of the Hindu Kush Mountains. That's about the only location that I could give for this place. After about an hour of just sitting in the truck, we were finally ordered out, and the blindfolds were removed. By this time it was dark out. The armed men made us line up single file in front of this enormous cave entrance. I remember seeing crates of weapons and ammo at the mouth of this cave. But beyond that, there was nothing but darkness. There were five armed men total. They all had their faces covered, and just stood there with their weapons ready. If I had to guess, they were waiting for their leader to come out and give us the initiation speech. Looking around, I was definitely the oldest of the seven boys that were there. Because of my past experiences with the Taliban, I knew that these men were not the good guys. They may have prayed to the same god as me, but they were ruthless and brutal to their countrymen. I was at the very end of the line. Directly behind me was the cave entrance. So I made a split-second decision and made a break for it. I ran full speed into the dark cave, hearing angry shouting from behind me. I ran past the supply crates and further into the cave. The passage narrowed as I moved forward. I heard the truck reposition. The headlights were now aimed directly at the cave's entrance. I eventually entered an open cavern area. I could hear the men behind me, so using what little light I had, I hid behind a rock formation that was beside the opening and waited for my pursuers. Two of the armed men eventually entered the cavern. I heard one of them saying that if they found me, they would just put a bullet in my head for causing trouble. I peeked my head out from behind my hiding spot to see an AK-47 pointed directly at my face. One of the men had found me. He shouted at me to stand up, and as soon as I did, we both heard a loud scream coming from the other side of the cavern. I only caught a quick glimpse of what was happening. The other man was on the ground, thrashing violently. He was completely covered, head to toe, by enormous spiders. Without exaggeration, these spiders had to be the size of house cats, and there were hundreds of them, crawling all over him. The man who discovered me quickly turned around and gasped at the horrifying sight. I took this opportunity to flee. There was no way I was going further into that cavern, so I used the headlights that were still pointed at the cave's entrance to make my way back out. As I ran, I heard the sounds of gunfire, shortly followed by more screaming. As I neared the cave's opening, the headlights quickly vanished, leaving me in complete darkness. This was the absolute worst time to be in the dark. I made my frantic exit from the cave, just in time to see the taillights of the truck as it sped off. The other boys and the remaining Taliban fighters were gone. They may have thought that what was happening in the cave was an attack by the Americans, and decided to cut and run. I was now scared out of my wits, and I had no idea where I was, and even worse, I was now terrified that these humongous spiders would emerge from the cave and devour me. There was one path through a rock formation that the truck had driven through, and that was the only way I could take. I remember thinking that these spiders could jump on top of me at any moment, so I ran as fast as I could. As soon as I cleared the rocks, I could see the lights of my village in the distance. It took me about 2 hours to reach the town, but I thankfully made it back in one piece. In the time that I was gone, American troops had taken over my village. I was stopped by soldiers and was taken to an interpreter for questioning. I was more than happy to tell them where the Taliban was hiding, and after a while, they eventually dropped me off at my house. My mother was overjoyed to see that I was still alive. When I think back to this experience, I can still say with 100% certainty, what scared me the most was not the armed men who broke into my home and took me from my family. It was what dwelled in that cave. Hey everyone, thank you for tuning into this episode of Based on True Events. If you enjoyed these narrations and would like your story to be featured in this series, please send in your written experience to unit522stories@outlook.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, I'm your Uncle Unit. And as always, never forget.
There's always-